Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
This is part four of this week's episode of the MMA Hour. Thanks for checking out the show. Okay, let us move along now and say hello to our next guest. And it has been a while since we have talked to our next guest. It has been, I think it's been like 2.5, 3 years since he's been on the program. And there's good reason for that. Not because we were shunning him. It's because he walked away from MMA. You'll recall that back in 2015, Nick Newell announced that he was walking away from the sport for various reasons, injuries being one of them. He was a mainstay on the WSOF scene. He fought for the belt back at WSOF 11 in 2014. He fought on NBC till this day. That's his only loss, 13-1. He followed that up with two victories. And he announced recently that he was coming back. And not only is he coming back, he's coming back on Friday. He's coming back at LFA 35. It's great to have notorious Nick Newell back on the scene. And there he is via the magic of Skype, the one and only Nick Newell. How are you, Nick?
How's it going, Ariel?
Long time no speak.
Yeah. It's great to be back on the show. It's great to be fighting, man. I feel phenomenal. You know, I'm really happy to have this opportunity and to, you know, have people interested in me again now that I'm returning back to mixed martial arts.
I remember we spoke to you after you announced your retirement, and it seemed, I don't know, and correct me if I'm reading this incorrectly, there was a little bit of sadness to the interview because it felt like here's this young guy who still has a lot to accomplish, who didn't make it to the UFC, who was good enough to be in the UFC, and the injuries caught up to you. And I don't know, it felt like there was like this like cloud hanging over it all. And now to see you coming back is a great thing. Why did you decide to come back, though, considering all the things that you said when you were walking away 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly really meant the things that I said, and I felt like my last four camps in a row, my body was just shutting down, and I wasn't able to train the way that I wanted to train. And now, while no fighters come into a fight 100%, you know, I was at a very low percent. I was feeling really bad going into these fights, and honestly, it was hard for me to train for them because my back, my neck, my knees, everything. So. What I needed was I needed some time off, you know, and the thing that sucks is if you're a fighter and you need some time off, then you take time off, but you don't get paid, you know, and you can't really make a living. So I wanted to focus on something that I could make a living off of. So I opened up my own gym, Fighting Arts Academy, CT, in West Haven, Connecticut. And once that got established, I started getting some good training partners and people to go with. I decided that it was good to come back, and I'm still working with my same team that I worked with before. I'm just a little bit busier, you know, owning my own gym too.
So at what point, how long ago did you start to get that itch again and start to think, you know what, I could actually do this. Everything's good in my life. The stars are aligning. When did you start to have those thoughts?
Probably honestly like a year ago. I've been training since the last time I fought. I just had to kind of figure out my body and figure out ways to do it smarter and what I can handle, and I just really needed that time off. And it was a good thing because I feel great now, and I'm actually better than I've ever been, you know, teaching. I've kind of put an emphasis on my technique has gotten a lot better. And the only reason why I haven't fought earlier than I have now is because I got married. So I didn't want to like do that to my wife, you know, she lets me do whatever I want, pretty much. So I kind of thought it would be kind of rude to take anything away from betting. So once that was over, I decided that it was a good time to get back out there.
Congratulations on getting married. How is married life? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. We lived together for a number of years before we got married, so not much has changed. I'm on her insurance. You know, other than that, you know, things are the same. I like it. I like it a lot.
You still have your cats?
Yes, I do. You know, they're getting old. They just turned three, and then I still have my cat, that I had growing up, but she lives at my mom's house. She's 20 years old. So I'll always be a cat guy. I got my little 3-year olds cats, and now I'm killing it. You know, I love those things. So you can make fun of me all you want for it, but those are my babies for now, you know?
And how did you end up with LFA? Because I'm assuming you weren't tied to anyone, given the fact that you were retired. How did you, or why did you end up with them?
There's a few reasons, you know. One is the opportunities they give me and the freedom and everything that they provided and how they build fighters. I really like that, you know. They offered me a good contract. Good fair contract, and you know, I talked to my team, and we decided that was the best move.
Did you even reach out to the UFC? Did you try to go that route?
Obviously, I'd like to fight in the UFC. I feel like I've earned it, you know. But life's not fair sometimes, and you know that I think maybe after this one, I don't know, but who knows.
So that's still a goal of yours. That's still something you want to accomplish.
Well, when you're good enough and you know it, and you know you could beat these guys out there that are fighting, it's kind of difficult to just kind of sit back and watch, you know, when you want to be the guy out there. So at the end of the day, yeah, that's always the goal, and that's always been the goal. And I feel like now more than ever, I'm ready. I'm ready to go out and make a name for myself, even more so than I already have.
So did you or your management talk to anyone at the UFC when you were planning on coming back? And is there a reason why you didn't sign with them?
They didn't give me an offer. You know, that's it. They didn't give me an offer. So that's the reason why. And it's fine. I'm happy with LFA right now. And I'm just ready to go out and make a statement and kind of do my thing and take it from there.
Have you been watching a lot of MMA in your time off? And when you watch the top dogs at 155, are you saying, like, I could hang with these guys? Like, do you think like that as you watch it?
No, I absolutely know that I'm world class. I know that I belong, and I know that I could do well even in the UFC. You know, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and I'm a college wrestler. And with my striking, my footwork, I'm always in the right spot. Maybe I don't have the multi-punch attacks that everyone has, but I'm have very good range. And now that my body is working as well as it is, I really feel like I could take a fight with anyone and be fine. Not only hold my own, but win.
Do you find yourself keeping tabs and maybe even rooting for Justin Gaethje, considering what he's doing in the UFC, because you shared that time in the cage together?
Yeah, I mean, I always liked Justin, and we always had a good good relationship. We were always friendly with each other. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just business. It's just a fight. And obviously, he beat me, so the more he wins, the better it makes me look. But aside from that, he's a good dude, so I always root for him. You know, he's you know, I'm just a fan of his. So there, now he's fighting. I mean, I don't want to get on that, but he's fighting Poirier, who I also know and like a lot. So it's good. I'm just a fan of the sport, you know. So I have not stopped watching MMA. No, that's not a question. I am obsessed with it. People ask me my hobby. I tell them this is my hobby. Like, yeah. I do it every day.
Did you consider entering the PFL tournament?
You know, my manager really handled all that, and okay. It just didn't come up. I don't know what they said when they reached out to him, but LFA was the best offer we got, and that's what we went with.
You know, it's so interesting that we're talking on this Monday of all Mondays. I don't know how much you pay attention to other sports, and I'm sure you're very focused on your task on Friday. However, there's a football player, a college football player, who's making a lot of noise and ton of news over the weekend, who obviously reminds me a lot of yourself. Are you familiar with, and I may be butchering his name, but Shaquem Griffin? Have you seen what he's doing in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I didn't know who he was till this week. I don't really watch any other sports besides MMA.
Yeah.
But I train with a lot of football players. I train with a lot of guys in the Arena Football League for strength and conditioning. And I'm impressed with how athletic these guys are. And they're not in the NFL yet. I mean, I've been hearing this guy's going to get signed maybe first round. You know, I could be wrong. That's just something I heard, you know, but all the power to him. You know, I just like to see people be successful. And he kind of went through a lot of the same things that I went through. And it's good to see someone making a name for himself. And aside whether how many hands he has, man, that guy's fast. You know, he's impressive. He's a specimen of an athlete. And I'm sure he busted his ass to get to where he is. So, obviously, I'm a fan of his. I liked his Facebook page. I started following him on Instagram and Twitter. So, you know, I wish him all the best. It's really cool to see.
Oh, it's unbelievable! And not only is he killing it in the 40-yard dash, but bench pressing. What he did? Did you see that clip of him bench pressing? I think he hit 20 in a row. Did you see that?
No, you have to send that to me.
Oh my God!
You have to send that to me. It happened over the weekend, and I've just been so insane, but I definitely saw him running. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Continue.
No, it's okay. It's amazing, you know, now that we're talking, and he's been all over the news this past weekend, so, you know, reminded me of what you've overcome and how you are able to defy the odds, given what you are born with, and I think it's just such a great thing to have you back. You're an inspiration, and I wonder if that continues to be part of your motivation to show to other people that they don't have to let this, you know, stop, that you could do anything that you want. You can be like everyone. Do you still think like that, or do you feel like you're past that at this point in your career?
No, I've always felt that the power of the mind is a very powerful thing, and your work ethic will allow you to achieve things that other people could never imagine you could achieve, because they don't have the same hustle. They don't have the same work ethic you have. So for me, I've always busted my ass at everything I do. You know, I started off not good as a wrestler, and I worked all year while everyone was out partying, doing God knows what. I was in the gym training, and I got good that way. So I appreciate the value of hard work, and I really believe that anything that you want, you'll never know how good you can be unless you try, you know? So I started this MMA thing kind of as a hobby, and it took off, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I only have one hand. It has everything to do with the fact, of how hard I work and how determined I am. You know, I look at myself and I think of myself as like the most badass dude that there is. And it doesn't have anything to do with me having one hand. It's not because I have one hand. It's my attitude. So the thing that makes me different isn't that I'm this one-handed guy out there fighting. The thing that makes me different is mentally I'm ready to do whatever it takes to win. I'm determined. You're never going to see me quit. You're never going to see me give up. And obviously, like anyone, I have my moments where mentally I get broken down, and I have my high highs and my low lows, but I'm a determined guy, and I am where I am, not because I want to prove something to anyone but myself.
Last thing for you, Nick, and what a great answer. I appreciate that. I've never experienced this. I'm not a fighter, but I'm certain that there's a feeling that comes with fight week, right? It's different. You're about to go, you know, into battle in a cage, locked in a cage with another human being. And I'm sure there's nerves that come with it, even if you're the most confident fighter, and some anxiety as well. Did you miss this feeling on this Monday as you're probably about to, you know, head out soon? Did you miss the feelings that come with getting ready for the fight on fight week?
I mean, making weight always sucks. So, yeah. I don't ever miss that, but, this is fine. I always make it just fine. I'm a good size 55 pounder and it's not a big deal. You know, this one's actually at a catch weight, so it's easier. But
what's it at? 160?
You know, the nerves, everything. 160. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I can make 155 no problem. It's just I don't know. I just thought it was a good idea maybe to just have a little more fun with the fight this time, and my opponent agreed with it. So here we are. And you know, I of course you get nervous when you fight. Of course, there's always that little bit of fear, but that motivates you. You know, that motivates me to fight, to challenge myself and to face that and to go out there and really show why I'm different, show why I'm special, and show why I deserve to be the guy that people talk about. I deserve to be known as someone that's a skilled martial artist, a good fighter. You know, I really believe that I am one of the best in the world, and I am incredible at what I do, but I'm also a very humble man, so I don't really like to talk about it that much. I like to just go out there and just kick people's asses and collect heads.
Looking forward to it. It goes down this Friday at Arena Theater in Houston, Texas. It's LFA 35. Co-main event is Nick Newell returning to action at 160 pounds against Sonny Luque. It airs
main event. Main event now.
You're the main event? What happened?
They moved me. I don't know. There were these two girls were supposed to fight for the title.
Yeah.
Sabina Mazo. They moved it. I'm the main event.
Oh, yeah, all right.
I'm upset about that because I kind of wanted to sit back and watch that fight.
It's canceled?
But, you know, I think so. I think they've been saying I'm the main event. And since, I don't know, so I guess it's canceled. Maybe unless they moved it to the co-main, but I think it's canceled. Yeah, it's just, I'm the main event.
All right. Look at you. Breaking news on the show. Thank you for that, Nick. Appreciate it. Welcome back. It's good to have you back, Nick. I wish you the best on Friday. Thanks for taking some time and looking forward to checking it out this Friday on Access TV.
Thanks. After I win this fight, I'm coming to New York and you're going to have me in studio.
Deal.
It's not
anytime.
Far.
Anytime. I got the seat for you right over there. You got to check out our new studio. You've been to the old one, but it's time you check out the new one. So that is a deal, my friend.
I'm coming.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Nick. All the best to you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Notorious Nick Newell. He is back. First time fighting since October of 2015. And I was just going to say the main event is for the vacant women's flyweight title, Sabina Mazo, who's a big time prospect competing. But apparently Nick just broke the news that that fight isn't happening. We'll check on that just to make sure that that is accurate. But that is big news, having him back in the swing of things. And it's clear that he still wants to fight in the UFC. And if you did not see the one-handed, the congenital amputee, Shaquem Griffin, wow, what a story that is. Coming out of the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, 20 reps, bench pressing. It's a marvel to watch. You can find it anywhere online. The 40-yard dash, just incredible. An incredible athlete, as is Nick Newell. So it reminded me, and it's kind of wild that we have him on the show just, you know, coming off the weekend where Griffin did all of that. Okay, so that's this Friday. Let's go back to our discussion of UFC 222. One of the big stories, of course, over the past weekend in Las Vegas was the much-anticipated, long-awaited debut of one Mackenzie Dern, and she picks up the victory over Ashley Yoder. Hard-fought victory. She had her moments, almost had her submitted in the closing seconds, but in the end, most important, she improves to 6-0. She is still undefeated, and she's one of the bright young stars in the UFC. We wanted to check in with her and see how it all went down. She is kind enough to be joining us via the magic of Skype. There she is, Mackenzie Dern. How are you?
Hi, Ariel. I'm good. How are you?
Thank you so much for the time. So I see you're a little beat up. Is this the most damage you've ever had on your face on the Monday after a fight?
Yeah, for sure. I never, really had this much, so they didn't try to put makeup, anything, you know, you guys saw my fight. So I think it's good to see. And then I tried my best.
Yeah, I think it's important to see. How do you feel about it? Like, do you feel comfortable with these, the cut on the lip and the black eye?
No, I want to put my glasses on, you know, but no, it's okay. And I know it's part of the game. Like I say, my goal is to try to go in there with the less amount of damage as possible, but Man, I tried to be striking with her, so I knew that, like, I could get punched in the face, you know, so it's part of it.
So on Thursday when we spoke at the media day, I asked you about if you had any nerves, if you're the kind of person who gets nervous. You said that not really, and quite frankly, you said that you kind of rise to the occasion on the big stage. You prefer fighting on the big stage. But now that it happened, now that you're in the locker room, T-Mobile Arena, Bruce Buffer saying your name, pay-per-view, all that stuff, there's a big crowd, right? You're the headliner for FS1. Were you more nervous than usual? How did you feel in the closing seconds before the fight?
Man, I swear, it felt so normal, felt so relaxed, felt just like I was ready to be. I didn't like hear the people, you know, like I felt Bruce was talking with me, like when he was saying my name, but I was just looking at Ashley, you know, like trying to focus on what I want to do. Like, I felt like I was meant to be there. I didn't feel any nervous at all, you know, so the whole like UFC, like jitters or the butterflies, you know, I didn't feel anything. And
wow.
I felt great to be there.
Have you watched the fight yet?
No, I haven't.
Is that on purpose or you just haven't had time?
Haven't had time, you know, just trying to spend time with my family, you know, like my phone's just going off, you know, so I turn everything off, you know, trying to like take my mind. After I'll probably see, I'll go to watch, you know, but I'm excited to see like just how it was to be fighting with Ashley, you know, because I felt like a little bit hard to get some distance sometimes, you know. I want to see like if I was moving my feet on the fight, you know, like the little things from the pictures that I see. Sometimes I see my head is down a little bit, you know, when I'm punching, you know, just kind of like go, you know. So I'm excited to go back and do the homework and see what I need to get better at. But right now I'm just, you know, having time, taking my mind off the fight and spending time with my family.
Based on what you remember, are you happy with your performance or do you feel like you could have done better?
No, that's like a mix, you know, because I'm like very, I always say I don't feel too much of the pressure from other people, but I put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, so it's back and forth. Like, I'm happy with my performance. I think it's always better for me to fight go through the three rounds now than to have never been through three rounds and go to the belt and, you know, have to get pushed to five rounds and, oh my gosh, this never happened before, you know, so I think the time in the ring, there's nothing better than experience like that. Of course, I wish I got the submission on the end, you know, like I tried to, but it didn't have enough time. So I feel really happy that I was able to do like standing up and like practice my stand up and do like takedowns and ground and cage work. Cage was something I really wanted to work on, you know. So I really tried to not be my back on the cage too much and be able to control the cage better. So there were so many things that I'm happy with my performance, but then at the same time, when I see like my black eye, I think like, man, maybe if I would do the takedown and go to the back in the first round, maybe I would finish, you know, and be done. And maybe that would have been better, you know, but so it's like back and forth, you know, like, okay, if I would have really tried to take down on the first round and maybe got the choke in the beginning, maybe that would have been better than to stay and try to stay standing up. But I think it was good too at the same time. So I don't know. It's like both. I think it was a great first fight. You know, I'm happy with the performance. You know, so it can go either way. I'm not too like, oh, I wish I got the submission in the first round. I think also too, I had like not a struggle on the weight cut, you know, but a lot of people were like nervous about my weight cut and thinking that, oh, you know, like she's not going to recover good, you know. So I think the fact that if I would have submitted fast, they say, oh, like she's lucky that she submitted fast because otherwise she wouldn't have handled the whole, like I had the weight cut and I still went the three rounds and like, of course I had some knees to the stomach, so I got a little tired, but I was okay with my cardio, you know, I felt good, you know, on each round I felt okay, you know, so I think it was good to show like, man, okay, I had a weight cut, you know, my weight cut for 115 is always hard. I had like, I felt good during the three rounds, you know, so I think it's good for people to believe a little bit more in me.
Well, since you bring it up, I have to ask, you were the last one to weigh in and we waited for you for a few minutes but it made for great drama. Everyone was wondering, you know, if you were going to show up. So I appreciate the theater. But how difficult was the cut? Were you nervous at all that you may not make 115 or 116? Actually, you had the one pound allowance.
No, I wasn't nervous. You know, I wasn't nervous. Like, I think you get to a point where, you know, you in your mind, you don't really like understand how bad you are or how good you are, you know. So I had like 3 pounds left one day before, I think around like 9 p.m., you know, so in my mind, I was like, okay, no, oh, no, I'm sorry, 2 pounds. I had 2 pounds left the night before. So in my mind, I was like, no, I'm going to make 116. My manager called me, you know, like was like stuff was happening. I didn't even know what was happening, you know. So like, man, no, I'm just going to go back to the sauna and lose my weight. And then the morning, you know, they did that little sauna, little room sauna thing, you know.
It's yeah, yeah.
Like a new thing. They touched the room and they did that. So the whole time, I don't know if maybe because I was so like, just, I want to get this over with. Maybe I didn't realize really how close I was, you know, but I went there and like, I waited on the check one with no clothes. And then I was 116 and then they put on the little like bikini, the top and the panties. And then they went and they said, okay, you can go with the outfit, you know? So I said, okay, like it's better than to have to do the thing, you know? So,
yeah, the hoop of shame. Happy. Okay, so that's what I like to call it. And I think they should use it for the men, by the way. I don't know why they just use it for the women, but that's neither here nor there. That's not your problem. It was amazing to watch the closing seconds because we know how good you are on the ground. And it looked like you didn't have your arm under her chin, but still we've seen some people tap to that just given the pressure on the chin and the neck. Did you think that you had it close?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people tell me about that, like, oh, it's on the chin. Man, like I know from all the chokes I do, like, man, we have the air choke and then we have like the blood choke, you know, and the air choke is usually what they're defending when they put their chin down. Even like my last, with Mandy Polk at 125, she had her chin down. But with Ashley, I could feel like I was squeezing on the sides, you know, like I wasn't squeezing here. So I felt that she was like breathing, but I was feeling her like more that she will pass out than to be out of breath, you know, like cut the blood off, like they fall to sleep, you know? So they have two different types of chokes, you know, they have the one that the people can't breathe and like stop to breathe. And then they have the ones where they don't feel it. And then when they see, they just pass out, you know? So I was feeling like was really tight. I was squeezing more like to the sides. And, you know, I was just like trying to go like, man, I hope she taps. You know, I wasn't thinking how many time was left. I knew it was close to the end. You know, my last fight with Kylie Medeiros, I got the submission like 15 seconds left. So I was like hoping that that was going to happen again. But, you know, she was able to release the pressure and everything. So it was a good fight. You know, I'm excited. I'm happy with how it was.
Was she tougher than you expected her to be? She did, it seemed, drop you very quickly in the middle of the fight. Were you expecting her to be that tough? And how hurt were you when she dropped you?
No, she wasn't like tougher than I expect her to be because I knew she was going to be tough. You know, I didn't think she was going to be easy fight. But for sure she was like a little, like not longer than I thought, but I did have like more trouble to understand distance and to like, I don't know, to believe like in my takedowns and stuff. Like sometimes I was thinking to go to takedown and I saw her like lifting her knee up, you know, like, oh, if you go, I'm going to do a knee to your face, you know? So I kept thinking like, maybe I'll stay more standing up a little bit longer, you know? And so in just sometimes like, okay, now I'm going to go to do the combination and then she would hit me first. And I said like, oh, okay, I need to keep my leg outside her leg, you know, like so little things like that, you know, but she was tough, just like I thought she was going to be, you know. I know she wasn't going to, you know, be like scared to fight or anything. Like I said, she came from some losses. So I know she had like the fire in her eyes to win. And honestly, like the, when I fell down, I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember like when my coaches, they always tell me like the punches that hurt us are the ones that we don't see coming, you know? And I really didn't see where it came from, you know, like when I saw, I was just on the floor and say, okay, get up, you know, it's like caught up fast. I didn't really like know if it was a punch or it was a side or what it was, you know? So, I just feel like she didn't like come at me, you know, when I was on the ground, when I came up. So I was able to like recover fast. You know, I didn't feel pain or anything, you know, it was just like a click, you know? So I said like, okay, good. Let's get back into the fight.
To me, it was pretty clear that it was 29-28 for you. Although it was a split decision, how nervous were you when you heard her name, when Bruce Buffer said her name when he was reading the scorecards?
You know, I was surprised, but I wasn't nervous, you know, because I know, like, if you leave to the judge's hands, can be anything, you know, and especially, like, when I'm fighting. And, you know, like, my coaches, each round, I asked my coach, like, did I win this one? Did I lose this one? You know, and they said to me, like, the first one, you won. Okay, the second one, they say, okay, it's 1-1, you know, and then the third, they say, okay, you need to win that one. But you know, sometimes I think, oh, maybe the coaches, they like, not on purpose, but maybe they're biased, you know, like maybe they think like with emotion, you know, like, you know, so I don't think like if when I heard they gave splits, they're like, okay, maybe it'll be to her. But I wasn't nervous, you know, like I said, like I want to be undefeated. I want to win everything, but I know it's a part of the game too, you know, like to lose, I try my best. You know, it wasn't like scary for me. I just think like, okay, let's hope that they choose with me, you know?
Was your dad at the fight?
No.
Did he watch it?
Yes, he did watch it. Yeah.
What did he have to say about it?
He's scared. Yes, he's a little scared, you know, like, whoa, that was scary, you know, but he's happy about it, you know. He's waiting for me to get back to Arizona to go see him. So, but really, that's the whole thing. You know, I think, like, everyone asked me about him, but he's been my coach for so many years. We really just want to like preserve the relationship of father and daughter, you know, and I think just my whole weight cut, you know, like you're kind of tripping out a little bit, so many sauna, you're saying things, you don't really know what you're saying. And to see me like go through a fight where maybe I get knocked down, you know, and have to fight out of it and stuff. That stuff is kind of like, I don't know if a father wants to see that all the time, you know? So I think it was good that he saw that from his couch with my family there. With the dogs, you know, all comfortable.
Oh my gosh. I have a 1-year-old daughter. She like slips and just like falls and I like have a heart attack and run and hold her. I can't imagine seeing her get punched in the face and the black eye and all that stuff. Is it fair to say that he would prefer that you didn't do this for a living?
Oh yeah, for sure. My dad is definitely like, he supports me, but Ariel, if you see us like at lunch or something, he'll be like, you know, so you should go compete jiu-jitsu next month, uh-huh. You know, always like trying to do a little, you know, clues to get me to stay in jiu-jitsu, you know, I say like that, I have MMA fight, you know, coming up, you know, this, that, he said, oh, okay, you know, he definitely doesn't want to see his daughter getting punched.
This experience though, did it reinforce your love and interest in MMA? Because, you know, the question is always, are you going to stick with MMA? Are you going to go, you know, full on with MMA, no jiu-jitsu, all that? Did this reinforce that for you, that decision?
For sure. Like when I was like going back to think my post that I want to post like on Instagram, you know, like to thank everyone and just to feel like to share how I felt, like really was like, man, I felt like I was meant to be there, you know, like I know that each fight I will be a better fighter, you know, like really enforce like, yeah, this is what I meant to do. I made the right decision to stop jiu-jitsu now and focus on this, you know, so I'm excited for the next fight. Hopefully I can be like UFC in Rio. I'm like ready to get this black eye away and come back to training.
So you did say that on Thursday that you want to fight on the Rio card May 12th. Is that still what you want?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an opponent in mind?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
You just want to fight anyone?
Yeah. Not anyone. Like.
Sure.
But someone, you know, like that. The next level, just keep,
exactly.
You know, the process going, definitely.
And you know what's so crazy about, and it all went well and you win and everything, but again, this sort of infatuation with your accent continues because here's George Gurgel who comes in, the translator. Now everyone, I've gotten more questions about the translator being in the cage at the end of the fight than anything that you did in the fight. Like people are like, why does she need a translator? Why? From my understanding, I'd love for you to speak on this. You didn't ask for him to come in. I think he just came in because, you know, he wanted to help you and Rogan went to him. You didn't need the translator there. You didn't ask for him. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if people thought that I asked for him. I didn't ask. I didn't ask for the translator. I didn't ask, like, before the fight. I didn't ask after. I didn't, like, Joe was telling me, like, even to take out my mouth protector, you know? So I was finished the fight, have my mouth protector in my mouth, you know? Like, I didn't even remember I had the thing in my mouth. So for me, when I saw the translator, like, I don't know, obviously, but I have a lot more fans in Brazil than I have the USA. So for me, when they brought the translator, I thought that they wanted me to speak Portuguese for all the fans, you know, and him to translate for everyone in the US, you know, but just for me to speak to everyone in Brazil, you know, too, both. And
yeah.
You know, not to understand what he was asking, you know, I thought that they just wanted me to be able to speak to all my fans in Brazil, you know, like, because I finished the fight, I didn't get to say anything to anyone in Brazil, you know, like, you know, so it was when I saw, I thought he just wanted me to speak Portuguese for everyone in Brazil, not because I couldn't understand the question, yeah. You know? So I thought it was more like a fan than me speaking Portuguese. So when I asked, I said, like, do you want me to speak English or Portuguese? I don't know which one you want to say, you know? Then Joe read that, oh, I think she understood. Then I said, like, okay. So I was not confused, but I didn't understand what was happening either. You know, sure. I don't know what people thought that I asked the translator. I didn't ask.
Well, I'm happy we cleared that up, and it's understandable. You were just in a 15-minute fight, so it's okay to be confused. But it's just amazing how people are nitpicking this sort of thing with you. It's crazy. Last thing for you, Mackenzie, and again, thank you so much for the time. I know Dana White was there. I know Ari Emanuel, who's a co-owner in the UFC, was there. Any of the, you know, the big bosses come up to you afterwards and talk to you about how much they like the fight, having you on the roster, things like that?
No, I mean, I got like messages from Mick and Sean, you know, I know them from even the beginning when I first started MMA. They've always been supporting me. So they send me messages just saying like it was a really good job and that they hope to see me soon. And that's about it, you know. So I know like the card had so many great fights, like Brian Ortega, his knockout, Sugar Sean, he had like such a good fight, you know. They had so many great highlights this card, you know, so it was just good to be part of it and to finally get the whole debut out of the way. And
yeah. Well, it couldn't have gone better. You passed with flying colors. Congratulations, Mackenzie. It was a real pleasure to watch you finally in there after all this time talking about it. Enjoy the victory. Enjoy your time off. I hope you heal quickly and hopefully you get that fight in Rio. That'd be really cool to see.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ariel. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you. All right, we'll talk to you soon. There she is, Mackenzie Dern, now 1-0 inside the octagon. Her debut is out of the way. Everyone talking about it going in, and now everyone's talking about it going out. Who will she fight? She wants to fight in Rio. She has the connection, of course. Her family is Brazilian. She is of Brazilian descent, and of course, she lives in the Arizona area. She was in Los Angeles, I do believe, but that would make a lot of sense. You put, you know, a rising star coming out of Brazil on the Rio pay-per-view. I think that would make a lot of sense. I find it interesting. You know, she said it. Brian Ortega said it. Others have said it before. Like, this is a blue-chip prospect. This is a blue-chip prospect. And no, like, the brass isn't coming to the back and shaking. I feel like that was a part of the routine. Lorenzo's in the back. Dana's in the back shaking your hand. No one's going up to Mackenzie Dern after the fight and shaking her hand and saying, welcome to the UFC. No, there's nothing of that. Congratulations, Brian Ortega. Congratulations, you're getting a title shot. Like, is that, I don't know, am I nitpicking? Is that asking for a lot? But I just feel like that's the sort of thing that's always been done. Like that, like that's just a part of combat sports. Big win, you come in backstage, congratulations. I mean, the days of, you know, the bonus, you know, the discretionary bonus that they used to give out in the little envelope, they would give out this stuff, but I don't know. I find that a little surprising. How about this? Just saw this come up on TMZ. Canelo Alvarez tests positive for banned substance, blames Mexican cows. I'd like to see who first reported this. I just saw this out of the corner of my eye on Twitter. Let's see. Anyone else have it? All right, I'll read this. Next up, Chris Cyborg is going to join us, but let me just quickly read this. This is according to our friends over at TMZ, our good friends over at TMZ. Canelo Alvarez has admitted he tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug, but he's blaming the dirty test on contaminated cow meat. The boxer was tested in advance of his upcoming May 5th rematch against Gennady Golovkin and says results show he had trace levels of clenbuterol. FYI, clenbuterol is a banned substance often used by athletes to cut body fat while retaining muscle mass. It's banned by every major doping agency. We've seen some MMA fighters get popped for this as well. Let's see what else. He believes the traces of clenbuterol are, quote, consistent with meat contamination that has impacted dozens of athletes in Mexico over the last years, end quote. Canelo says he will immediately move his training camp from Mexico to the United States and will submit to any number and variety of additional tests that the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, VADA, deems necessary ahead of the fight. Quote, I'm an athlete who respects the sport and surprises me, and it bothers me because it had never happened to me before, Canelo says. I will submit to all tests that require me to clarify this embarrassing situation, and I trust that at the end, the truth will prevail. Canelo's team notes he has tested clean dozens of times over the course of his previous 12 fights. So it does appear, according to this, that the fight is still on. I'm trying to... Okay, there's a press release from Golden Boy saying, as part of the voluntary testing program that Canelo Alvarez insisted on ahead of his May 5th fight, this is a press release from his promoter, Golden Boy, one of his results came back positive for trace levels of clenbuterol consistent with meat contamination that has impacted dozens of athletes in Mexico over the last years. As Daniel Eichner, director of the SMRTL, we actually heard from him during the John Jones case, the WADA-accredited lab that conducted the tests stated in his letter today, these values are all within the range of what is expected from meat contamination. Upon receiving the information, Golden Boy immediately notified the Nevada State Athletic Commission and Gennady Golovkin's promoter, Tom Loeffler. As has been planned, Canelo will immediately move his training camp from Mexico to the U.S. and will submit to any number and variety of additional tests that VADA deems necessary ahead of and after May 5th. Added Canelo, I'm an athlete. Okay, that's the quote. Canelo has tested clean dozens of times. So it seems like, fascinatingly enough, he tested positive for clenbuterol, tested by VADA, but the fight is still on. And they came out with the test. I mean, it's interesting because what's the point of the test if there's no ramifications for the test, right? But it did come, so I appreciate, you know, I appreciate the transparency. It did come from Golden Boy, but what's the point of the test if there's no punishment for said failure? Unless I'm missing something here. I mean, we've seen some UFC fighters get multiple years. Francisco Rivera's career is essentially finished because of something like this. Right? Francisco Rivera USADA. He received, according to the USADA website, received a 4-year period of ineligibility for his anti-doping policy. Yeah, he tested positive for clenbuterol. So in an out-of-competition test. Interesting. I guess fight fans would be happy that the fight is still on. But why, oh, why do the tests if there's no ramifications for it? All right. Well, that's some big news coming out of the world of boxing. What? This is bizarre. Oh, all right. Well, just trying to figure that out. That is late breaking news, as they say in the TV business, my friends. We still have a lot of show left. Coming up, we'll be answering your questions and comments. You have been hitting us up using the hashtag the MMA Hour. We're also going to do Rick's Picks as per usual. And we are also going to, okay, well, I should note this because I do recall, but thank you to Mark Ramundi for letting me know. Augusto Montaño and Brandon Moreno both popped for clenbuterol and got cleared. Mexican meat contamination is a real thing per WADA, which I know, but they did have a period of sort of being provisionally suspended. It doesn't appear, at least from what I'm reading, that Canelo will be facing any kind of sanction here. But let's give us some time to digest this. We'll also be joined by Mike Goldberg. But first, we've talked to Brian T. City Ortega. We've talked to Sugar Sean O'Malley. We've talked to Mackenzie Dern. The headlining act on Saturday, of course, it was Chris Cyborg. She defeats Yana Kunitskaya in the first round, arguably her most dominant performance in the UFC. She is still the reigning defending UFC Women's Featherweight Champion, and she is kind enough to be joining us via the magic of Skype. There she is. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Ariel?
I'm doing great. Congratulations.
Doing great tonight.
Parabéns. Congrats on winning the fight. Overall, I'm assuming you were very happy with your performance. It was pretty much a flawless performance out of you, right?
You know, I'm really happy. You know, I was. You know, it'll be five rounds. I always say that, but you know, I think my heart and I was so great at the fight. And yeah, not you. You know, I think the amazing performance. I'm really happy.
It seemed to me like you landed a big punch very early, and she had to adapt. And then she went to her wrestling and her clinch work, and that maybe prolonged things a little bit. Did you feel like you connected with that punch? Like, did you feel like she was on the verge of going out after landing that first punch?
No, her interview, she's always said, I don't have a KO power. And I said, well, she's going to fight me, you know, instead of my share dog. You know, before you go and check it out, the share dog. You know, I don't know. I was, of course, always you have a plan to fight. But when you go in the cage, you just have to feel, you know, feel your opponent. And then when I punch her, she felt the first punch. And then she decided to be disappeared for go to the ground.
Were you frustrated that she was able to prolong things the way she did with the takedown, with the clinch work? Was that frustrating for you? Were you disappointed?
You know, I work my stand-up, use the cage for the stand-up. I work a lot. I work wrestling with Tito, and I work a little bit my guard. I think she tried to heel hooks too. You know, I was just patient. I know she's in panic there, and she used a lot of her strength for trying to take down me, and I just relax and defend. And I knew after she's doing all the strength she's doing, she's going to be tired.
She said afterwards that she was very nervous. Our photographer, Esther Lynn, has a picture where it looks like the fear of God is in her eyes. Did you get the sense that she was afraid in there, that the moment was a little too big for her?
I really don't check it out, really. A lot of people talk to me, you see her face. It was scary. I was never look like this. I look at her. I don't see anything in her face. I just remind me about Feather. Like, Feather no smile. Feather don't make any sense in the face. I was just thinking, man, Russian, let's go to the war. You know, but I really respect Yan. You know, she's the top of the fight, like 3 weeks, like me does. You know, and then for sure she's gonna have other opportunities. And but her first fight in UFC, of course, she's gonna be a little bit nervous. You know, I think it's normal.
Would you say that was your best performance in the UFC thus far?
I don't think so. I think it's all right. You know? I think any fight has a lot of challenge for me. The two fights, 140. I think it's only ever guy you can see a little bit patient at the fight. Hollywood is a very stressful training, and you know, I really go patient at the fight. This fight is getting a little bit crazy, you know, violent. It reminds Cyborg, real Cyborg again. And I think each fight has a special thing.
So, I remember not that long ago when they were talking about you taking a fight on short notice, Dana White said, you know, if you can't make weight in 8 weeks at 145, what are you doing at 145? Here you made 145 in 3 weeks. So was that kind of a, you know, something very important to you to prove to people that 145, you don't have trouble making that weight. You can do it on short notice.
No, you know, it's crazy because before I fight the hard, I have an injury in my hand and my right hand, I have an injury. Because I worked too much, and then I was injured in my hand. And then I was, for Holly fight, I already had the injury. Yeah, I did a lot of sparring, like 6 months straight, sparring. And after the fight, I told her, I need a break. I said, no punch, you know, I have to break. And I continued just work, like conditioning training. I was doing stairs, but I was not working like sparring for my hand recovery. And I was really don't think when I was going to fight. You know, I would say I was going to fight in July because I have to do a lot of things about my knees, everything. And I was in Europe, you know, doing community service seminars and they were doing missionary work. I was never thinking about this fight. But I was there when they called me. I just first thing I did, I checked my weight. And I checked my weight and I did one training and I did sparring with Arturo, one guy there in Europe. He's never fight. He's from Angola. And I said, man, first fight, I already did sparring, you know, for see how the feeling. And I feel great. And I text my man, I said, man, you know, I think I can do it 3 weeks. But the first thing I did, I checked my weight. But I was really happy because now I learn to work with my body. And my weight stay very close to the ways I fight, you know, like better for me. Less damage.
How is your hand after the fight now?
No, my hand is great because I stay like 1 month after Holly fight and just do ice and physiotherapy and nothing hurts.
Okay.
Great. Real apple.
Chris, do you get tired of after every win? We can't just celebrate the win. We can't celebrate the performance. We have to talk about the division. And are you fighting real 145ers and stuff? It's not just like any champion. Oh, Max Holloway beats Aldo. Great. He's great. We celebrate. But with you, there's always so much that goes in with it. And none of it is your fault, but it's because of the division that you fight at. Does this get tiring for you?
About what? I don't understand the question there.
That it's never just Chris Cyborg won, 2 minutes, etc. It's always, there's no one for you to fight. It's all 135ers. You're the only one. You're not fighting the toughest competition. All this stuff. There's always all this other stuff that comes with it.
You know, now it's changed a little bit. I think now the girls start show up, you know, they don't want to fight me. And I think they have the big opportunity. They want to fight me. And now I think it's changing a little bit, you know. Soon after the fight, Megan Anderson sent a tweeter for me. And after Holly, I think the girls start to show up. But I really want my division growing, and I'm really happy Holly Holm is going to continue 145, and I think this is going to be better, and you have more girls going to stay 145.
Okay, so let me ask you, because it was a bit confusing afterwards. It seems like they're doing Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington in Rio. However, after the fight, Dana White said that he'd like for you to fight Amanda Nunes in Rio. Is this of interest to you at all? Will you consider this? Have they asked you to fight her yet, officially?
You know, I after my last fight, I said I would like to fight Amanda in July. And, you know, I did 3 fights in 7 months. And Amanda going to be 1 year. She's going to, like almost no fight. Her last fight is in September. And she's really defend her belt. And they have Kaylee Vieira. She's fighting me in semi-card, beat Catherine Gunn. She's the next light my fight 135. I think she's 10-0. And, you know, have a girls for Amanda fight. She's having to defend her belt. But I'm open for fighting her, you know. I keep training, and then I'm open for fighting her, but probably going to be July. I'm not going to fight in Brazil, May. I have a lot of things to do, and I did 3 fights in 7 months. And yeah. I really have to take this break.
Have they even offered you the Rio fight? Have they tried to get you to take it?
I've been asking a little bit, but, you know, because I'm going to Brazil now, end of the month. I have to do something about my knees. And this fight, beginning of the March, is perfect. I was ahead of having a ticket for going to Brazil end of the March for making all my stuff. And then I said I accept the fight to her. But, of course, now she has to defend her belt to get a win, you know. I never fight Amanda before because she's the one's 145. She never keep winning for fighting, you know, once she fought the 145. Because even this fight never happened, you know. It's nothing because of her. It's nothing because she's never getting close. And but now I think it's the fight that people would like to watch. But, of course, I think the girls have to respect and make them defend her belt. You know, I think, I don't know. But she wants to wait till July. It's cool, you know, for me, it's cool.
Okay. What's wrong with your knees?
No, my knees. No, because I'm going to adopt my knees. I'm going to bring her
to
America.
Knees.
And then
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you said your knees.
My nieces. Yeah.
My mistake.
No. It's perfect. No, I don't have any injury. I feel great. I feel perfect.
So you're adopting 2 nieces?
No, just one.
Just one. Wow. How old is she?
Yeah. Now she's 12. But I was when I make the promise for her, she's on 5 years old.
Wow.
They take a long time, but you know, they coming true.
Wow. Who does she live with now? Before you actually adopt her?
She lives with my mom. You know, when I live in Brazil, I live with my mom. And then I always take care of her, and she's having like she like my daughter. And then when I came into America, I told her I was gonna bring her because I was not speaking English. I really have to work for be somebody in America, and I start to work. And I told her, when I have everything fixed and everything prepared, I bring you. And the days, because now it's, I'm ready, you know, I'm ready for bringing her. I think it's going to be a good opportunity for her leaving America. And I feel very happy and blessed because the promise, you know, going to come true.
That's amazing, and congratulations on that. If you don't mind me asking, where are her parents?
No, her parents is my brother. Okay. But my brother, when she's born, he's still young, and he's have like a brother. We everybody like a brother. But her mom, she never met her mom.
Oh wow! Okay.
So her mom.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. Congratulations on doing that.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you also, Holly Holm was on our show earlier, and she said she would love to fight you again. Does this interest you at all?
You know, Holly, she's having 1-4. She's having the last her 5 fights. Okay, we did it like amazing fight. You know, I won the decision. But I think she still have some fights. She's have to get a win for the fight again. You know, I don't have any problem fighting her again. But, you know, she's. I think she's have to get a win. I think she can fight Katherine Gunn 145. I think she can help me invest my division 145. You know, I think she can do this. But I have 2 fights left. And the goal of these 2 fights is Amanda Nunes and Meg Anderson. If Amanda Nunes not be ready, or she lost her next fight, or not be ready for International Fight Week, I already told my manager I want Meg Anderson.
Okay, and do you think Megan Anderson will finally get cleared to fight you? Are you confident?
You know, she sent a Twitter.
Yeah,
she sent a tweet for me the day of my fight. Congratulations on the fight, you know. If you, I don't know. She's like to play like this, but I don't know. But maybe she's supposed to be ready. If she tweeted me, maybe she's gonna getting clear soon.
Okay. And you say you have 2 fights left on your deal. Go ahead.
I never take the table about Amanda. Really, before this fight, after Holly Holm, I contacted Valentina, where she can help my camp with Amanda, and she's going to be part of my team when I fight Amanda, Valentina.
Wow, Valentina Shevchenko.
Yes.
Wow, have you ever trained with
her
before?
No. I just hear about it. Man, she's had a lot of fights. She had a lot of experience, and she fought 2 times with Amanda. She stayed a long time with Amanda in the octagon, and then I talked to her. Ray is her friend. They like know her. And she said, yes, Chris, I mean, and it'll be great. It'll be great.
That would be great. Two quick things for you, Chris, before I let you go. You said you have 2 fights left on your contract. Are you saying like that, and that's it? You're done? Or then you're going to renegotiate? What are you thinking?
No, I'm not done, but probably we're going to renegotiate. I don't know, but I'm not done. You know,
okay.
I have more fights I want to do.
Because I remember
my division and this too.
I remember when you were talking about retirement, you know, a long time ago, this was around the time, so I didn't know if you just had 2 fights, period.
No, I have 2 fights left in my deal.
Okay, gotcha.
And then after, yeah.
And I love the story of you and Dana shaking hands after the fight. You guys are your buddies now.
Hey, I don't know if you're buddies, but I told him, now we're friends. I get to fight 3 weeks notice for help, you know, for Ben asking me. I did one favor. But of course, favor for me too. But, you know, I prove it like anywhere, anytime, and we're going to be ready. And you guys, always I say that, but I never have the opportunity. And this time I have the opportunity. And I told him, now we're friends. You know, it's funny, but, you know, I think it's cool, but I don't know.
What did he say to you?
I think he didn't happy.
What did he say when you said
that?
He
just smiled and he turned his red face. I think he's shy.
Yes, he's a very shy guy. Shoot-a-box style. I loved it.
Shoot-a-box style. I was training when the beginning of my career, and I was here. I need to be ready. You need to prepare for any situation. But I was never thinking it happened with me. And this time it happened when I say F5. Now I feel like, oh, it's cool. It's a shoot-a-box style. And then all my partner shoot-a-box really happy because, like before, we cannot see YouTube who you're going to fight. You just have to be ready for any situation. Just go over there and fight. And I feel like that's just fights like this.
Chris, what a performance once again. It's a pleasure to watch you compete. Congratulations on the victory. Enjoy it. And also congratulations on the upcoming adoption of your niece. That's an amazing thing. And hopefully we'll see you back in there in July.
Okay, thank you, all my fans. Thank you, Ariel, for the opportunity. Thank you for Cyber Nation, everybody in Vegas. And I hope we'll see you in Vegas again fight week. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. There she is, Chris Cyborg. Thank you so much to her. Parabéns. Obrigado. Appreciate her stopping by. The most dominant female in the history of this sport. She is now undefeated in her last 20. And, man, hasn't lost since her very first fight 12 years ago or so. It's an amazing story. And she continues to fight whoever that they put in front of her, continues to beat whoever they put in front of her. Unfortunately, there isn't the talent depth at 145. She said Megan Anderson, hopefully that fight can happen. Amanda Nunes would be interesting. We'll see what happens. She can only do the tasks that are put in front of her. So credit to her, and what a great story that is, her adopting her niece. I totally botched that. I thought she said knees, but she said niece. My bad.